Hello, level 13. This is Daniel in the present, I guess. I realized as I'm doing editing for future level 13s, as you know, we're behind. But I like it that way because on weeks where we don't do a show, you still get a level 13. See, it's a little bit of a built-in buffer there. However, I realized that this past week on the main show, Arthur and I talked a lot of politics, and we continue to do so in the after show. And the way that this episode would have fallen, it would have fallen on November 16th or something, long after the election. It wouldn't have been, it's questionable whether it's entertaining now if you don't like politics, but certainly nobody wants to hear about politics after the election has already happened. So I made the executive decision to push this level 13 after show ahead of all the others. So this is going to be out of sequence. So this is from the October 11th show. So just last week, where we, it was guest hosted by Arthur from the Amaranth podcast. I'll shut up now and we'll go do that thing. All right. Bye. And, there we go. So, I need to pee. So if you want to take, what was his
you
name?
Go outside?
Leo.
Leo. That's right. Would you name after Leo Laporte?
No, he's actually the third animal in a row that Nudge and I didn't name. He came to us already named.
Pre-named. Our cats came pre-named, but we immediately changed them. I'll tell you why. After you take them out to pee, and I'm going to go pee. Yep. So we'll reconnect the chat room. We'll be back in just a minute. By the way, hi, Nick. I saw you come in earlier, and I didn't have a chance to say hi. Hi, but I'm stepping away, but I'll be right back.
I'll be right back, too.
And we're back. Well, I'm back. Hi, Nick. How you been? I haven't seen or heard from you in a long time. Hope you're doing well. We should do dinner or something. Survived the hurricane. Yeah, over in Lakeland. You guys got a lot of flooding and crap. Like, didn't the eye go, like, right over your house? I feel bad that I didn't message you. Like, I was so, like, messaging everyone else, making sure that they were okay. I didn't even think about messaging you. I feel bad now. I feel horrible. I'm sorry, Nick. I apologize. Is everything good at the house? How is the flock? I'm not going to remember pet names, but the adorable cat and the dog, and I think it was it. I think you just had a cat and a dog. Cat was awesome, very loving cat. Mitty and Drac are doing well. Excellent. Oh, welcome back, Arthur.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
He apparently really had to go. He was standing there for the longest time.
I did too. I was like, of course, you know, I'm 57. I have to pee all the time. So
the plumbing gets fickle as the house ages.
Living with some roommates now with lots of cats. Aw. Wait, are you no longer living with Alex? Oh, we're getting into dirt now. Arthur, getting in the dirt now. I'm sorry. You don't have to answer that, Nick, by the way. I'm being very nosy. Anyway, so Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I feel like it was a spectacle.
Yeah.
And not, you know, like in a fun way.
No.
It was, I'm trying to find, we can find the one. Oh, that would be great, Nick. I would love to do that. I have nothing to do for dinner tomorrow. You should talk to me. Anyway, because Zach is working until like midnight. Where is it? I'm trying to do too many things at once. I'm looking for his butler, PA. Hold on, former president. Trump. When would it have been? It would have been on October. Been a while. Wow, these things move fast, don't they? It was like the Butler PA was October. When was he shot? Can I search? Oh my God. Hold on. I'm fighting with the C-SPAN website. Let's see. Donald J. Trump. Yes. Former president in Reno, Aurora, Detroit Economic Club, Reading, Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania. Is that what I'm looking for? Is it Butler? Where was he shot? He was shot in Butler, right?
But yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah. Okay. This is the C-SPAN event. The event from start to finish.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
3 hours and 11 minutes long. This is a 3 hour and 11 minute long rally. And it's kicked off with J.D. Vance. So J.D. Vance is now coming out. And I want to just highlight this little difference right now. He's out. He's doing the walk. He's doing the wave and the walk while his theme music plays. And they clap. They all clap. I don't know why they clap. It's like they're being clapped for, but at the same time they're clapping as they're walking, clapping, shoulder shrugging, pointing. Right.
It probably at nothing.
Keep going. Right now, here we are at about the 45-second mark, and he's now at the main stage. He's now made it to the main stage. He's going to walk up to the podium. You can hear him clapping as he walked past the microphone. He walked past the podium to wave to the people on the other side, of course. You have to do that. But here we go. Here we're going to bring it back in. Now watch.
Wow.
See? So they fade the music and he starts talking, right? That's that took us a minute and 13 seconds. From the moment that it started to that moment, minute and 13 seconds. Okay, so let's see. We're going to get to points of interest. I think I have to go. There's a lot of speakers that are speaking before him. They all have, and sometimes it's just music, like this guy. Don't even know who he is. He's not important. Eric Trump is now speaking at the 1 hour and 12 minute mark. This is Eric.
I love all of you so much.
I've been right here in Pennsylvania.
That's his wife, the co-chair of the RNC. But now they're going to bring out somebody else. Let's see.
And pop singer.
Wait, hold on. In the stillness of our prayers, yeah. We ask. Okay, okay. Okay. Evil. All right. So we're going from Donna Sugars, or right?
Donna
Hot,
Summer.
Donna Summer, Hot Stuff, right? Here we go.
Yep.
Hard cut to this.
There are some moments in history that are forever seared into our hearts. Moments when time stops. When joy is shattered by pure terror. When evil seems to triumph over good. And our pride turns to mourning.
Yes.
All in an instant.
Wait, morning? Morning like sunrise? Morning?
The bravest among us suddenly fallen. Patriots and presidents besieged.
Besieged.
A nation stunned to its core. And in the silence of our grief, in the stillness of our prayers,
there's some video playing with this somewhere, but the camera can't find it.
And we may never
know. So it's just a thing.
But in our nation's darkest moments, when all seems lost, when the cause seems to be unwinnable, when the night seems to never end, and hope is on its knees.
Yes.
Doing what?
We rise.
We rise.
When will they learn this man cannot be stopped? This movement cannot be defeated. And even when they mock us, even when they slander us, even when they count us out of the fight, we will not stop.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
This is part of his intro. Still hasn't come out yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the next president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump.
All the things were gone. I'd work for all my life.
All right, so it's standard that he plays God Bless the USA. And so the normal way that I watch these things is that I just skip to the end of the song because I don't want to see him do his stupid, goofy, standing and looking serious thing. So on this particular video, this is the first hint that something was weird about this particular event is I'm doing my fast forward thing and I'm going, okay. And I'm like, God, that their recording sounds warped. What's going on with their playback system? Like this is not you know. It's like,
there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Like that's not a good note.
God bless, right?
No, it turns out no. Lee Greenwood is there. Lee Greenwood for this rally like came in and this is Lee Greenwood singing live with his band, the God Bless USA. By the way, Trump's now just standing. Just still standing. Keep going. Oh, wait, now he's hugging Lee Greenwood as they sing the thing. Okay, that from the time he walked out, from the time, if you don't count the minute and 20 second video package before, but from the time they said President Donald Trump, that is 4 minutes.
Jesus.
That he is.
No wonder it they take so long.
It's just, oh my God. All right. So he goes on to do his normal goofy lies about everything. But I'm trying to find the exact moment. I'm surprised it's not marked as an exact moment in the speech. But he had known.
Lives, they were on top of me so fast. They were on top of me, and there was not even a moment of doubt in their minds. You watch those tapes, not even a moment of doubt. I want to thank Secret Service. A great.
So he's trying to, he's padding this out because he's trying to get to the exact moment that he was shot. You know, the exact time on the clock that he was shot. And let me see if I can, this is hard to find in this. It was so crazy. I'm surprised they don't have this marked, but they at the exact time that he was shot, they play bells. Like he's like, now join me in a moment of silence. They play bells. And then you hear you know what? YouTube might have it. Let's see. Opera singer Trump rally. Basically they had some opera singer dude that was singing like his, you know, like the bells rang and then you're like Ave Maria being sung by a tenor. And it's this opera dude that's singing like Ave Maria. He's like, I'm like, this is like the most autocratic jerk off fantasy ever. Right. It's just like the yeah. Let's remember when I got shot and it nicked my ear. Remember that? Remember how harrowing that was? Yeah, let's all now have a moment of silence with some bells and some opera singers. And let's bring Lee Greenwood in. And to compensate, the Secret Service has now placed semi-trucks all the way around the perimeter of this. You know, there's no longer lines of sight between those warehouses and whatever. So it's like... But he loves to show the video of how many people were there. that his Butler, Pennsylvania rally. And he shows that at other rallies. He plays clips of his other rallies at his rallies.
Jeez, he's sensitive about that.
Like, he literally will go like, oh, we had so many people there. It was so great. Here, let me show you. Let's take a look up here. And he showed up at some game, some baseball game or football game, one of the two he showed up at, and the crowds were cheering for him or whatever. And he plays that footage as if everyone that went to that NFL football game was there cheering for Trump. It's like, he's insane. He's insane.
He literally leaves me speechless much of the time because I can't understand why his fans can't see through him. I mean, I get a lot of the psychology that's supposed to be behind it and all that sort of stuff, but it's just, he's so weird. He's so creepy. He's so delusional and so in such obvious cognitive decline.
Yeah.
And they ignore all of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he says things that are just absolutely positively false.
Yeah.
A simple,
provably false.
Yeah, a simple 5-second Google search would clear it up. And yet he just repeats them endlessly. It's like, it doesn't matter if they've been debunked. It doesn't matter if, you know, there's been widespread debunk. He still says the stuff about the hurricane relief. He still says that they're doing a horrible job and that, you know, that the illegal aliens have taken all the funds away from FEMA because they're putting them up in 5-star hotels.
Yeah.
He's like, they're putting the illegal immigrants up in 5-star hotels while our homeless troops sit outside on the sidewalk. And the, can you imagine being one of our brave troops who's like homeless on the sidewalk in front of this 5-star hotel as you watch these illegal aliens walk past with their families going up to their suites? It's like, it's like, oh, wow.
The only thing that's missing from all of that is that you would think he would have said what they should be doing is they should be putting them in Trump hotels.
Right. Well, yeah. But how many of those,
taxpayer money?
How many of those are left? It's like he immediately got rid of that one in D.C. So he got rid of the Trump hotel in D.C. But he's got a lot
of millions out of it.
Yeah, he's got a lot of golf clubs. I don't know if he has a lot of hotels though. It's like, I guess Trump Tower is. But it's not a hotel. That's like a business.
It's apartments.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's not, just, you know what?
I'm just waiting. Actually, you can stay at the Trump building in Chicago.
How many hotels does?
And the only reason I know that is because I got a Facebook ad for it. And I'm thinking, your algorithms are definitely picking the wrong person in there.
Why, look, Arthur, there is a website dedicated to our needs. It's called TrumpHotels.com. Let's see. That's our hotels. Let's see. So there is the Trump International Hotel and Tower in New York. So I guess part of Trump Tower is got a hotel in it.
I guess.
And the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago.
Yeah, that's on the river. It's where the Chicago Sun-Times building used to be.
Those are his only hotels. He has golf resorts in Miami, Las Vegas, Dunburg, Ireland, Turnberry, Scotland. It doesn't say where this is. Trump McLeod House and Lodge in Scotland. Just, I guess, somewhere in Scotland. Just, they'll ask him. They'll know. And the Albemarle Estate at Trump Winery. Yeah. Whatever happened to Trump wine, huh? Kathy Marshall, he got rid of the Trump concession in D.C. Why does he want to be president? Yeah.
To stay out of prison.
That is his. I guarantee you, he doesn't want to be president again. He wants to be president so that he can pardon himself, and then he's going to step down. And that's why he let a room full of billionaires pick his vice president. It's like, he's like, look, this is the plan. I'm going to go do, I mean, I'll do a month or so, whatever, but I'm going to pardon myself, make sure that, you know, I punish some people who I feel like need to be punished. And then I'm stepping down. It's like, and I'll let JD run or whoever you want. You pick a guy. So.
Yeah. Although I also think that if he didn't step down, that JD would 25th Amendment him to get him out.
I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day. It's like the 25th Amendment is a pretty high bar, isn't it? Like, it doesn't it, like, the president has to be like unconscious or like,
well, no, they don't. They just have to be certified as incapable of doing their duties, but it also requires certain other people, and I can't remember who it is. They have to, I think they have to notify, is it the Speaker of the House or President Pro Tem of the Senate? One of the two. They've got to notify them that this is doing it, but the president has the right to challenge it. But I mean, with all the money that whenever the billionaires have, they could hire somebody to do that.
Whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro temp of the Senate and the Speaker of the House their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The vice president shall immediately assume the powers and the duties of the office as acting president. So it has to be the vice president and a majority of the principal officers of the executive department. So I'm assuming the
cabinet,
all the secretaries, right? So the, so transportation, state, all those secretaries.
Yeah.
You would have to have a majority of them. Or if you couldn't get them, you could get a majority, just a simple majority of Congress.
Yeah, but it seems unlikely.
They could go party line, right? It's like if they...
Yeah, a lot of it depends what happens in the down ballot races in November.
Again, I just have this gut feeling, and I think maybe it's just hope, but I don't think it's going to be as close as people are thinking it's going to be.
It usually isn't.
I think
in the end,
I think Kamala's going to. Honestly, I think she's taking Florida. So it's like, I think that's 30 electoral votes that nobody is putting on their maps.
Yeah.
That I feel like, at least in my very narrow social circles, I know a lot of conservative Republicans that have no interest or desire in voting for Donald Trump. Like, it's like, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm not some crazy, weird religious fanatic.
Yeah.
You know, white nationalist. Well,
that's why the Cheney's endorsements mattered so much, because they're old line conservative Republicans.
Yeah.
And they're part of this permission structure to allow conservatives and Republicans to say, well, I don't agree come on a lot of things, but I'm going to vote for her anyway to stop the lunatic. Because traditional Republicans cannot stand Trump. They hate him. It's only these fringe people who worship the ground he walks on.
Kathy Marshall said you need congressional cooperation to 25th Amendment. Someone, I think. And you do if you can't get the executive, but you can get a majority of the executives. I think she typed that before I read that. So
yes,
and I was just
that's why I didn't
say being lazy and not reading what she wrote. I'm sorry, Kathy Marshall. Please.
Yeah, I think the getting him to resign is probably easier. I mean, because all they have to do is they just have to get their billionaire friends to give him a couple of billion to resign, and he'll do it. And as long as he accepts it as a tip, then it's not a bribe. So
there's so many ways around. They're so just blatant with it, too. That's the thing that annoys me the most. It's not that they're grifting as much as you're just so blatantly bad about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just because it's like everyone keeps saying, you know, the Trump Bible, the Trump Bitcoin, the Trump
$100,000 watch.
Yeah, the Trump watches, the Trump sneakers and everything. And it's like the thing is, all he's doing is licensing his name to these are other grifters.
Yeah.
That he
just gets a cut.
Yeah, he just gets a cut. He's like, you know, so all the grifters come to him, you know, the, who's that? Like the Peter Pan of, who would be the mob boss, you know, kind of, where all the other little henchmen come to him and say, yeah, we can cheat these people with this. If we do this, yeah, go ahead. I get 20%. Yeah, go ahead. I get 15%. That's risky. I need 40%. You know, it's like that kind of thing. Because my favorite story so far is the Bitcoin. Mm. So let me see if I can piece this together from my addled memory here. So there was a Trump Bitcoin that he was, you know, touting. And it's, of course, it's a third party thing. It's called Liberty Financial. So it's called World Liberty Financial. That's the name of their cryptocurrency that they're going to talk. The WLFI token sale will be open for everyone who has qualified through the project's whitelist. World Liberty Financial, the nascent decentralization finance protocol supported by Donald Trump and his family, announced plans to start selling tokens on Tuesday, exactly 3 weeks before the presidential election for which Donald Trump is a Republican candidate. Public sale starts on October 15th. Open to everyone. All right, so they're like teasing it up, right? And they're like, you know, you can only buy it if you're on this very specific list here, and then it opens up to the public on this list. Some other grifters made a website that used their logos, and basically it was like World Liberty Financial, because the idiots hadn't made a website yet because they weren't ready to open to the public. So, and they've grifted like $3 or $4 million off of fake coin sales for their DeFi little cryptocurrency bullshit thing.
Karma's a bitch.
I was just like, oh. And of course they're not, I heard about this in the tech news because it was technically interesting, right? This is like one of those things is like, well, the New York Times isn't going to report that. Like, oh yeah, by the way, all you Fox News isn't going to tell people. It's like, oh yeah, that token that you bought because Trump told you to buy it. Well, yeah, he hadn't put the website up yet, which, you know, to my point earlier, right? Trump would be like, I was told, blah, blah, blah. I have nothing to do with this. I have Project 2025. I've never heard of that. The one that he did the other day that just like got me was, he was talking about Hurricane Milton, and he's just like, Category 5. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. And that is
exactly.
No one expected it to be this late. Oh, he's talking about the other one, Helene, for that one. But
yeah.
But, hello, it's in the middle of hurricane season.
Yeah. But on top of that, during his presidency, there was a Cat 5 hurricane. He even said at the, they have clips from him back then of him going, I've never heard of Category 5. It's just like, and you're the stable genius?
They both may be right. It's just that he forgets everything all the time because of his advancing dementia.
I'm so smart. I know more about guns than the generals.
I've always thought that the people who have to spend so much time talking about how smart they are probably the least smart people. Just like, well, because he's the greatest of everything, too, I suppose.
I think that's true. I think you're supposed to, the more people you tell that you're smart, the smarter you are. That's just science.
And women, especially women of color, are stupid.
Yeah, right. Or well-spoken.
Yeah.
She's such a well-spoken woman. You know what? I feel like they made the right choice. I feel like Hillary really focused on being the first female president, like was using that in campaigns like Madam President, and, you know, and definitely was doing that. I feel like they've learned from that to, you know, she never talks about, you know, being a female, you know, being the first female president. She never talks about that. She just talks about how she's going to do the job, right? She's like, She doesn't talk about being black. She doesn't talk about being Indian. She doesn't talk about being female. I mean, occasionally, but it's like, it's never the driving point of her speech. And it's always in response to somebody asking her. So,
yeah. And I think part of that is because she's aware that there's a significant percentage of American voters who are unsure about having a female as president.
Oh yeah. It feeds into everybody's, you know, deep little monkey brain, you know, prejudices. Yeah. Right. So it's like,
yeah. Well, you've also got the fundamentalist Christians who think that women should never have any sort of position of authority. Exactly. They should never speak their mind. Yep. But then you've also got these people who assume that all women are hormonal. And I thought, if your argument you're trying to make is that women are inherently unpredictable in their behavior, I thought, have you actually looked at the Republican nominee? His problem isn't hormones.
Why is that exclusive to women? What, like, men are predictable? Jesus.
Exactly.
Who could have predicted anything else? I feel the weird one that we have going on here in Florida right now is Ron DeSantis is suing television stations for playing anti-abortion ads. You know, because we have.
I saw that he said he was going to. Has he started that?
Let's find out. Because, you know, because facts
are
important.
When I saw that, I thought to myself, yeah, good luck with that. He has no power to tell television stations what they can and cannot broadcast. Even the president can't do that.
Well, let's find out. The head of the FCC is condemning Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' administration for its latest attack on the First Amendment after the state health department sent letters threatening local TV stations with legal action. Yeah, so they did. They sent letters. The state health department sent letters to local TV stations threatening them with legal action if they continue to air the ad supporting Amendment 4, a statewide referendum on abortion rights.
What that's clearly about, I would think, is intimidation. Because they know that they couldn't win that in court.
Yeah.
But they also know that some of the stations probably wouldn't have the money to fight it.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, just because you can sue anybody for anything, right? It's like, just because you win doesn't mean that it's not expensive to get there.
Yeah. Well, and there's a phenomenon that's been talked about by researchers in authoritarianism. It's called anticipatory compliance, where normal, rational people are afraid that they're going to be penalized in some way by the authoritarians. And so they do whatever it is that the authoritarians are going to demand, they think.
Right. And
there could be some stations that refuse them.
Here's the thing. I don't understand this because I feel like, you know, I'm not like a genius or anything. But if this was my reality, if the head of my company, the CEO or, you know, my manager, my boss or whatever was this guy, this narcissist, I would have realized by now that I can call him the worst things in the world. I can call him, you know, I can say that he lost the election. I can say he's a whining, crying little baby. I can say, you know, whatever. I can say any of those things as long as the next time I see him, I talk about what a great person he is. And then suddenly, you know, you're the best. Look at Brian Kemp. He was kicking Brian Kemp all around, you know, whatever. And now suddenly he and Brian Kemp, best pals, because Brian Kemp, you know, came and kissed the ring or whatever. It's like, as long as you're willing to kiss the ring, it's like, then go ahead and take the shot because, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I feel like they're just well,
so many of those people have no sense of self-worth. Clearly, because they're just too sycophantic. I mean, some of them are nuts, like Marge and Georgia and
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. I mean, they're off the scale.
Jim Jeffries. Yeah, Jim Jordan.
Coombs or whatever the heck his name is.
God.
All of those people. But then there are other ones.
Who's a Kennedy? Who's that one that talked like this? And he's like...
John Kennedy.
Yeah, oh God. I just want to punch
him. He's an idiot.
I just want to punch
him. Not as big an idiot as the one from, what state is it, Alabama? who was blocking all of the defense proposals because he wanted them to outlaw abortions in all military facilities and military hospitals.
I don't know.
And so it was getting really serious because a lot there were critical roles that weren't being filled because he was blocking them.
The guy who used Tommy Tuberville. Okay.
He used to be a football coach or something. Maybe he played it without a helmet, and that's what's wrong with him.
Oh, jeez, these people.
It's just the party is filled with people who are at best weird, at worst creepy and dangerous.
Yeah.
But there's nobody good that's still in the party. There is not a single Republican I can think of who I would even think for a second, oh, could I vote for them? There's not one. I mean, the last one I can remember thinking I don't agree with them on nearly anything, but that I would at least not be upset if they won was Adam Kinzinger from my native Illinois.
I feel like if Mitt Romney wasn't religious,
which is a big ask,
I could have probably, you know, because I watched that whole documentary of his campaign, and you know, off stage when he's not making these ridiculously stupid speeches, he seemed like a pretty decent guy, and you know, wanted to do the right thing, and you know, was kind of badly misled, right, as to what was right or wrong. But still, I was just like, yeah, okay, he's not the worst, right? And I mean, who was he running against? Romney was running against Obama,
President Obama.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I was going to vote for him, but I was like, okay, I could see Romney. And I mean, in later years, I think like Romney's kind of, you know, been the one to raise the middle finger to Trump.
That the biggest flaw in his character now is that he should endorse Kamala, because it would carry a lot of weight, especially in places like Nevada.
Right.
But, and Shrub should endorse as well. He shouldn't set it out. He's just being dishonest, in my opinion. Because, mind you, I thought his presidency was too. But
so I think the thing that I hear talk about occasionally is like Trump. Well, the RNC spent like no money on ground, like no money on, you know, any kind of infrastructure, any kind of ground game. You know, people going out knocking on doors, making phone calls, making sure that people or have a way to the polls, making sure that people are going to vote, making sure that, you know, they can get that all set up and everything. And that's, you know, voter turnout is, at least in the past, has always been stressed to us lay people as it all comes down to voter turnout, right? It all comes down to turnout. Like, you know.
And it does.
You can excite people. Well, Trump has no turnout organization this year. He's farming it out.
Very few field offices.
And well, in some of the swing states, he's farming it out to Elon Musk. Like Elon Musk has got a PAC that is, you know, funding these people going around doing the ground game stuff. But I mean, what does Elon Musk know about running a political campaign? It's just like, you know, the Democrats, on the other hand, the point that I was going to get to is the Democrats, on the other hand, have full info, like they've spent their money on having ground game, having, you know, offices and whatnot. So that's the other reason that I kind of feel like it's going to be not close. I feel like that will pay off. I feel like the Democrat ground game will pay off, right? People like me who texted Adam Burns every single day until he registered to vote, you know, making sure that he's going to vote, you know, encouraging other people to vote. I've already voted. My vote has already been processed and counted. So
I've posted mine, but who knows if it'll ever be counted.
Well, you can go to the the whatever state's voter website, and there's a place, because that's how I did mine. It's like I went and tracked it. You know, you give them your social and your information, whatever, and they're going like, well, this was your ballot. And then it'll show, you know, that it's been received, it's been verified, it's been counted. Like it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like if it had not gotten verified, like there was something wrong with the verification of it, whatever, it would have been flagged there and you could see it. Right. So I think that was like a federal law that they have to provide some feedback as to whether your vote was, you know, what the status of your vote was.
Well, in 2020, I don't think my vote was counted. The Chicago Board of Election Commissioners usually sends out an email, which is sort of like the equivalent of the I voted sticker sort of thing to tell you that it's been counted. And I didn't get one in 2020. And the reason I think it was probably not counted is because it's sort of convoluted, but Illinois has rules about what courier companies are allowed to develop to deliver election materials. Mm-hmm. They have to be licensed in some way. I've forgotten what the wording is. And the one that New Zealand Post used to partner with was DHL. I think it was DHL. One of them, anyway, a well-known one. So I'm sure they were safe. But somewhere along the line, that changed. And the company that actually was responsible for it in the U.S. is one I've never heard of before. And it was delivered. I know that because I did have the tracking number. Right. But that was the end of it. And I don't think it was counted. But, I mean, it didn't matter because Illinois is a blue state. There was no way that Trumpy was going to win. But I just still wanted to increase the overall vote totals in the popular vote by one.
I feel like Florida's going to go for Harris because everyone loves to paint Florida as a big red state. I would say at best it leans red, but Florida traditionally, if you go back to everything since the flip, the Republican flip, you know, the Nixon, whatever, the when Democrats became Republicans and Republicans became Democrats. Right? So if you go back and look at Florida over the, you know, at least in modern times, Florida has always just gone with the incumbent party. So like they went for Obama twice. They went for Clinton twice. They went for Bush twice. It's like they've always just gone with whatever the party was. The only exception to that was Trump. In 2020, and he barely went for Trump in 2020.
No, but he was the incumbent, so that would still fit your mold or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2016, I meant. 2016, because 2016, you had a weird thing where Obama's vice president wasn't the candidate, it was Hillary, and
technically open.
Say what?
It's technically open.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so it went to Trump because Trump was a Florida resident, right? So it's like, you know. But here's the thing. Everyone loves to point to the DeSantis race that year as being the proof that Florida is really red because DeSantis beat his gubernatorial opponent by like 30 points. Like it was a landslide for DeSantis. But what they're not covering in that story, and I wish they would, is that the Democratic candidate for governor was a former Republican that had switched to the Democratic Party who had great name recognition and won the Democratic primaries. But there was zero enthusiasm on the Democratic side for, you know, it was like, we're going to vote between two Republicans. We're going to vote between this Republican or that Republican. Like this is, we've been played. So it's like Democratic turnout in 2020 was very low because, you know, they felt like they had gotten screwed over in the governor's race. So it's like, I feel like that's the problem. And it's like, and even then Trump barely carried the state. So I feel like, you know, this is the year of reckoning, right? Is that
Senator. Was it Scott, whoever it is?
Yeah.
He's not very popular, is he?
No, he's not. And, you know,
That's one of the things I think gets lost in this, because there's this obsession with polls as if they actually mean anything.
Right.
And they're missing the overall picture because they're looking at that one thing. Like in Florida, for instance, you've got Scott. In Arizona, it's an open seat, but Carrie Lake is the Republican. Everybody hates Carrie Lake.
I'm sure her mother likes her.
Where else? Pennsylvania. The guy's a lunatic, and he also has problems. The guy who's the Republican is running in Michigan, apparently registered to vote illegally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the new one. And not to mention the porn Nazi from North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, he's definitely going to lose, but that bodes well for the Democrats carrying
who North as Carolina. someone who frequents porn sites, it has never in my life crossed my mind to leave a comment.
That's the first thing I thought. I thought, who the fuck would do that?
I mean, let's be crass for a moment. Most people,
it's not usually what one goes there for.
Yeah, most people while on porn sites are only using one hand to type anyway. So he's typing out these treatises with one hand. Why is just like it's a one arm treatise.
It's just weird.
He was engaged. Oh, you think the Trumpies are planning to discard? Oh, they're trying. They're trying. I think it's evident that they're trying the exact same things that they were trying in 2020.
They've got better chances this year, though.
The Democrats are aware that they've been trying, and they're counter suing on those
things.
They've
got much better lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like,
Overall, the pro-democracy forces have won far more cases than they've lost in this cycle. But they have put in 70-odd, according to Rolling Stone, 70-odd county-level probably election workers who are election deniers, with the idea that they may not be able to stop the state unless they can stop a county from certifying. If the county doesn't certify, then the state can't certify. That's their rationale.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why Georgia just tried to change its rules to make it so that would happen, because this is sort of their Hail Mary thing, because they're thinking that if they can get enough states not to certify, then they'll throw it to the House of Representatives,
right?
Exactly. Which will be under the control of the Democrats. So I don't see what that's going to get them. So now they're trying all sorts of lawsuits.
But no, it would throw it to the state House of Representatives, wouldn't it?
No. Assuming that the states never certify,
right,
it gets to Congress.
And I see.
Aren't enough electoral votes? Right. Each state votes as one delegation. So it all depends on how many Democrats win state delegations, not just how many seats. For that scenario. And I think what Republicans are counting on is that they'll still control a majority of the delegations as they do now.
Yeah.
But then the other thing
How's that working out for them? I feel like they have to come to the Democrats to pass anything. It's just like they've got...
Well, yeah, but that's just because it's a majority of the whole House as opposed to majority of the state delegations.
Oh, okay.
As it is now, because I think they control 26 outright or 27 or something like that. I've forgotten.
I don't know.
But there's all these other suits. They filed suit in Illinois I've forgotten when it was late last year, because Illinois, like a lot of states, has a rule that as long as a ballot is postmarked on or before election day, it will be counted in Illinois' case, as long as it's received within 14 days of the election. Mm-hmm. So they sued to stop that because it's this stupid
surprise vote. The surprise votes coming. I went to bed. I was winning. I woke up. I was losing.
Their argument is that Congress mandates one national election day, and by having that rule, that it essentially adds 14 election days, which is bullshit. And they know that, but they're trying. And it was ultimately dismissed because the district court ruled that they didn't have a jurisdiction, which is not the same as saying, get out of here, you fucking lunatic.
Yeah, plus they do that on income tax too, right? Just like as long as it's postmarked, then that's the thing that matters, is the official notary document, you know, the official stamp of the U.S. Post Office, right?
Well, they're trying the same thing now in Mississippi. And the issue originally was that Mississippi has a five working day limit.
Right.
And the Republican Party, actually, I think the Libertarians started it in Mississippi, and then the cases were joined ultimately. But they announced that they were going to sue to have that overturned. And the Mississippi legislature, which is Republican, obviously, said, whoa, we didn't realize that upset you. We'll change the law. No worries. And Republicans are like, hold on a minute here, because they know that whoever wins, the Republicans or the Secretary of State of Mississippi, will appeal to the Fifth Circuit, which then will overrule it. They'll they'll declare it unconstitutional or something, which then would create a problem that the Supreme Court would have to solve. And being stacked with far-right Republicans, they would probably rule on Trump's behalf. So they could theoretically throw out millions of mail-in ballots. And so that's the kind of thing that they're counting on. Whether they succeed or not is a whole nother matter. Yeah. The Mississippi case hasn't been, as far as I know, they haven't even agreed to take it yet. The Fifth Circuit, maybe they did. I can't remember. I follow Democracy Docket to keep up on that sort of stuff.
Here's the thing. And I wish they'd let tech people chime in on some of this shit instead of, you know, it always being fucking capitalist or whatever. There was an open source voting machine software and that allowed, you know, that basically, you know, here is free software to, you know, you can run on any PC for a voting machine. It's secure and blah, blah, blah. And here's all these research papers. And the system that they came up with is what's called, they had a fancy term for it, but and essentially it is a self error correcting document. So what would happen is that you would go and you would vote and the machine would print out everything that you had voted for in English that you could then verify. And it also generated a QR code, you know, on the top page. So you had written English of what you had voted for, and then you had a QR code representing that. Right. And, so the document itself was internally verifying itself. In other words, this QR code equals these words. You can scan this QR code and you can verify that these two things match, right? That there's no tampering that has happened with this QR code and this thing. And the English was being checked by the people who voted, right? When you vote, you take your paper out and you verify that what you voted for is what you voted for, right? And so mm-hmm. it's a secure system. That is the auditing systems of this is that you would randomly select 3% of the ballots and this just check the QR codes against the words and just making sure that, you know, yep, these were the actual, you know, these are really what they voted for. And this was all open source and freely available and everything. And of course, Diebold and who's the one that, really, Dominion. They came in with their contracts and, you know, proprietary software and stuff like that. And so now we have, you know, electronic voting machines that have, they're just so opaque. They have no, like, we can't see what the code is. We can't see if there's something in there that, you know, either nefariously or just by neglect counts things wrong. Like there's, you know, in computer programming, there's always weird fucking bugs where it's like, if I click this radio button and the first letter of this text box starts with a B, it's going to flip something that makes this other thing false, right? It's like, there's always weird fucking things like that, right? It's like, you know, the software is built on libraries and libraries and libraries, and there can be errors deep in the code. So it's like to have this self, you know, correcting document and audit tool built into the whole process and having it being free and open to anyone that is like, it's just sad. It's just, I just wish that we could address our voting once and for all, you know, just like, you know, hand counting ballots. Why is hand counting ballots the holy grail? It's like the error rate on humans compared to a scanner is, you know, night and day.
Our ballots are paper and they're counted by hand, but there's only two votes during the national elections. So it's not a big thing. It's for a party and for your local candidate. That's it.
See, it's a better idea.
Yeah, I don't know what they do for local elections because those are on paper, and I think those are. They must be counted by hand because it's not like you blacken a circle or anything.
I mean, let's be fair. New Zealand.
Yeah, city vote is probably only 40,000 votes,
population.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Auckland has 1.5 million people, but not all of those people vote.
Right.
I mean, not just the children, but also even adults.
I mean, Wyoming has 1.5 million people, and we call it, like, insignificant here, so.
Well, it's just, it's the biggest city in New Zealand. That's why it carries more weight. But the thing about that is that our ballots for the local election are mailed to us, and then we're supposed to fill them out and mail them back. Or there are some drop boxes around you can use as well. And the turnout rate is something like 40% or 45% or something like that. And I keep saying, why don't we just give it up and go back to going in person? Because we have 70, 80, 90% turnout for in-person voting.
Yeah.
Something about the mail-in process is clearly not working.
I feel like there are some people kind of like going to church. Like going on a national vote when the only thing you could do was show up and vote. It was important to be seen doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can just mail it in from my house, oh yeah, I already voted. Yeah, I already voted. I already mailed in my thing. Right. Whatever. So there's no verification that you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like social pressure wise, it's like, oh yeah, I can tell people, but who, they won't know. And it's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard plenty of people say that they just threw their ballot away when they got it. And obviously I only failed to vote in the local elections once. And that was in 2000 because I had an inner ear infection that gave me vertigo and I couldn't even, oh, that was the most horrible thing I've ever experienced.
Is that,
and
like,
so I didn't vote.
So when I experienced vertigo, it was, it turns out I had high blood pressure at the time, but,
oops.
It was like when you're in your 20s and you come in from the bar and you're really trashed, and it's like even when you're laying down, the room is feels like it's spinning. Yep. Like even though you're perfectly still laying on a bed, you know, your hands touching the mattress, your feet touching the mattress, you know that you're laying flat. Your brain is still like, nope, this room is spinning. This room is, you know, you were upside down and right side up and upside down. Yeah, I was experiencing that without being drunk.
As a matter of fact, when I, when it first hit me, Nigel had helped me to get to the toilet because I was walking across the floor and it was like it was on a ship in the middle of the North Sea during a storm. And it was the weirdest thing because I was sure that the house was moving. I mean, I wasn't, I knew it wasn't moving, of course, but.
Oh, no.
Just awful. And then I kept getting, I don't know what you would call it, but returns periodically for about 2 years afterwards, because the it apparently takes years for the fluid inside your inner ear to rebalance or whatever.
Yeah, no, mine was once I started taking blood pressure medication, that the those stopped, the vertigo stopped. But then the blood pressure medication made me feel like shit, so that's when I started walking, which led to running, which that whole thing. So now I don't take blood pressure medication, and I don't have the spends.
I am on blood pressure and a blood thinner and statin. I'm also on allopurinol for my gout. And I haven't had a gout attack since, I'm not a serious one anyway, since I started on that drug, so that's been a success. But I just saw my doctor 2 weeks ago or something, because I started having these weird lightheaded things. And that's really common for people on blood pressure medication, if they get up too quickly, like from bed or whatever, that they can like, woof. And, but that never happened to me before. And I've been on this drug for the better part of 2 years, I think. And so I was concerned about that. And then it was actually, I got together with some of the family on the 5th anniversary of Nigel's death. And I, after I dropped my mother-in-law off, I went to stop at the supermarket on the way home. I walked across the car park, and all of a sudden I got the most massive head rush I've ever had in my life. Didn't faint or anything. I felt fine. It didn't, no pains or nausea or anything. But it was concerning enough that I made an appointment with my doctor. And essentially what he tried to say nicely is that it means you're getting old.
You're just old.
He didn't put it that way. He just said, oh, I have that too sometimes. I think you might be younger than me, actually. And then, but he also talked about how people in their 80s often have that sort of problem where they have these head rushes or dizziness and they fall. And because they're frail, they tend to break things like hips and whatnot.
Breaking a hip is like one of the top 10 things that kills elderly people. The has it been 5 years?
Yep, 5 years on September 20th.
Wow. I know I looked up my dad the other day for some other thing that we were doing. It was podcast related or work related. I don't know. I was looking up dad's obituary and I realized, wow, it's been a while since dad died. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but my question is, I often argue with my dad still. Like, one of the things that my dad was very vigilant about was lights. Don't leave the light on if nobody's in the room. You can't leave the light on if nobody's in the room. You know, I was like, that was a thing. And the other thing that he was very weirdly obsessed with was the amount of dishwashing detergent that you would use for, to wash dishes in the sink before you put them in the, like you, that's concentrate. You should only be using like a dime size for that whole sink. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just really, wow. I don't know why my dad suddenly sounds like Bernie Sanders, but he was Southern. He wasn't a Jewish man from Vermont. Anyway, the, where was I going with this?
You argue with
I argue with my dad. Do you argue with, like, if I leave a light, I'm like, Dad, it's LED. It's like a penny a year. Shut up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's like if I'm washing dishes, like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to buy more. I'm going to use it all. Look at me. Screw you, old man. Do you ever have a moment?
Not argue, because we didn't argue much in life. Yeah. So I don't have much of that. But I do sometimes... Not literally here, but I mean,
right, yeah.
In my head, I sort of hear Nigel making a joke about whatever it is I'm doing, because he would always take the piss out of me. So I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, actually, it came up at the time of the 5th anniversary, because he had died. Yes, he had died, but we hadn't had the funeral yet. And so there was this buffet that was, well, I still have it, where I had put the flowers that somebody had sent me and a photo of him. And I could hear his voice saying, you made a bloody shrine to me.
He said buffet.
And so when I brought his ashes home, they had to go there too, of course.
I'm just thinking all you can eat buffet. Not realizing you're talking about a buffet, like a piece of furniture.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would want to eat that. Although Gary's partner before me, who died about 18 months or so before we met, in person, he used to say that when he died, he wanted them to put his ashes in salt and pepper shakers and invite everybody around for a meal. It's like, okay.
Wow.
But it stuck with me. I wouldn't do that, of course, but...
One of the things that people do at Disney, there's actually a code for it. It's called a... what was it called? It's called a code. Hold on. Disney code. It's a code A.
For ashes?
Yeah. And where people most often do it is in the Haunted Mansion. They actually have an entire HVAC team that... like a hazardous waste team or whatever that has to come in and vacuum up the remains and stuff. It's like, but yeah, code A means that human remains have been found in a ride or an attraction. So
it would never in a million years occur to me to do that. Mind you, having said that, I have no idea what I will do or have done.
Right. I mean, but from my standpoint, I won't be here, so I won't care. Like, mom and dad had this thing where they wanted, us all to share custody of their ashes. Like, you know, like they could spend some time with each of the kids and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, as soon as they died, I'm like, I absolutely have no interest in having their ashes.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't believe that their spirits are somehow tied to these ashes.
No,
you know, so it's my sister them. Just keeps them. My sister has them. So, yeah.
Well, when, in Nigel's last days, he said Because we kept the ashes of all of our fur babies over the years, and yeah. he said, "You can put them all in with me, and then you can take the rest when they die."
Ah.
I said, "Unless you want Curzon, who was my cat."
Right.
I just said, "No, it's fine. He can go with you. It doesn't matter. It's not Curzon anymore."
Yeah.
But yeah, so I now have his ashes right next to Jake and Sonny's. On a dresser in my bedroom, so that, which I now call officially the Nigel Shrine.
Oh.
But part of it is because I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. There's more than you would think.
It's a lot heavier than I expected. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For sure.
It's just like, oh, okay. Well, we're 80% water, but yeah, we still have mass other than that.
Yeah.
That's like kind of crazy.
Yeah. I saw a segment, I think it was on that Seven Sharp I was talking about, where they were going to a crematorium in somewhere in the South Island, and the guy who ran it wasn't a mortician or whatever they call it. He was just a guy who got that job and has been doing it for like 40 years or something. Cool. But anyway,
I'm the one that learned how to flip the switch, and I don't mind the smell that much.
Well, it's got smokestacks, so. But he was saying that most of what the remains are afterwards is just ground up bones because the water boils off and most of the other stuff burns up and is just goes up the chimneys. And what's left is mostly bones and hard stuff like that, which then they grind down to turn it into the powder we think of. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I actually watched a documentary about I think on YouTube not long after Nigel died, because I have no hang-ups about death whatsoever or anything that goes around it. So I find it fascinating. We have a series that has been, shown in the US, I think maybe on Netflix, called, The Casketeers. And it's about a South Auckland funeral home. Mm-hmm. Actually, they've got like three locations, so it moves around a bit, but they're a Maori couple who run the show and, run the business, and the show is about them primarily. But I find that fascinating because the show, because they're in South Auckland, most of their clientele are Polynesian of some sort, either Pacific Island or Maori or what have you. And a lot of their funeral practices I'm not familiar with. And so it was fascinating to me. It's a very popular show here in New Zealand, probably because of that.
Casketeers.
Yeah. It's the Tippany Funeral Home is the business. I think it was Netflix. May not be on there anymore. I don't know. Except for one episode I couldn't watch. I had to turn it off.
Which was?
It was the, I don't remember the ethnicity of the people involved, but what they had was a plain box coffin like Nigel wanted. And he wanted a plain box because he said he wanted people to write all over it and make a big, beautiful mess, as he put it. And so I had that. And so on this one, they had a similar thing. And there were all of these personal messages that had been written on the inside of the lid, which I thought was odd. But anyway, putting that part aside, all these messages, and I just couldn't take it. So I turned it off because that was only maybe a year at most after Nigel died. So it was still a little too raw. Now it probably wouldn't affect me.
Yeah.
But at that time, it sure did.
Kathy Marshall says Keith Richards claims he snorted a line of his father's. I
heard that somewhere.
Yeah, but what was he hoping to achieve? It's not like bone
maybe got confused.
Grinding has any kind of hallucinogenic properties.
I wouldn't have thought so.
It's like, I feel like we would have heard about it. I mean, we've literally heard about toads that people have licked. It's like if there's some way for people to get high, we would have heard about it.
I made that point on a blog post once that ever since people have been people, they've been finding a way to get out of their heads.
Oh yeah, it's I feel like that's the other reason that Florida is going to go blue this year is because we have Amendment 3 on our ballot, which is recreational marijuana, and it's
you have an abortion one too. So
we do. If we have 4, which is Amendment 4 is the abortion. Amendment 3 is the marijuana. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people are kind of, the South, all right, let's first establish that the Florida medical marijuana system is broken and corrupt. It is literally just a, not a Jim Crow, like it's like, it is literally like a poverty blocker, whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you have money, that is all you need to get a medical marijuana card in the state of Florida. It's like, if you have money, if you can afford to pay a psychiatrist $150 for them to certify you as being, you know, in need of it, and that you can pay that every 7 months. Every 7 months, you have to pay them $150 to recertify your card. As long as you can afford to do that, then you can go to our medical marijuana dispensaries and you can buy, you know, whatever you want. Blah, blah, blah. With no benefit to the state because there's no taxes on it because it's medical. So it's just this stupid little hoops game that people play. And I feel like there's enough people in Florida that are like, you know what? Fuck this shit. It's like, I don't want to pay $150 every, I don't care if you're going to charge me 10% more in taxes or whatever. It's going to balance out because it's stupid for me to keep paying, you know, $150 every 7 months to renew my license. So I feel like that's a lot of people are going to be, you know, when I go to the dispensaries right now, they're crowded. Like they're crowded. So they're doing, and all of them have those vote yes on three things out, you know, in their lobbies and outside. They're sending mailers to your house. It's like, I feel like a lot of people in Florida are going to turn out for the vote yes.
I would think so.
Yeah.
At the, 2020 general election here, there was a referendum item about, I think it was actually just called decriminalizing cannabis use, and it failed. And I don't really know why, because it wasn't it was the next election that was an anti-government election. So I don't get it exactly, except that it was poorly written and poorly drafted because there were so many restrictions that were nonsensical.
They do,
but
they,
at the same election, plans, we passed a referendum to allow assisted dying.
Oh,
so what's that about?
So I can go to New Zealand then too.
You could.
My biggest fear is that I will get Alzheimer's like my mom and be a burden to people around me. It's like as soon as I realize that I have Alzheimer's, is like as soon in the early signs of that, as soon as it is pointed out to me that I'm repeating myself and I'm forgetting things that badly. Yeah, I will probably seek out a euthanasia solution.
Yeah. Yeah, I decided a long time ago that if I realize I'm losing my marbles, then I'm going to choose the time and place of my exit. And I don't care if it's legal or not.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do? Prosecute my corpse?
Yeah, what you going to do? Kill me? You going to throw me in jail till I die? Whatever. No, yeah. No, I'm going to... because it's... It's just one of those things where it's like, it sounds horrible to say, but it's like, you know, you're taking, your mother becomes someone who you can't have a more complicated conversation with than how is the weather, right? It's like, that's it. Like you can't talk about remember when, or hey, let's have I saw this really cool movie and I want to tell you about it, you know, kind of a thing. Like, cause they cannot remember anything past about 30 seconds. It's gone. It's just, it's in their head and it's gone.
Yeah.
And just the toll that puts financially and mentally and,
emotionally
on the people around you is just like, no, I don't want to put people through that. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm ready.
And I worry about that sort of thing because I think, well, what if I don't see it happening? But it's something that if Nigel was here, he could notice it.
Yeah.
I mean, that you could make that argument about pretty much any health condition,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, I keep doing the mental math in my head, like you were talking about, and was it two episodes ago or something with Adam? Yeah. And I figure that from the time I was born, at the time I was born, my life expectancy was around 85 years, roughly. Mm-hmm. So that's another 20 years
right.
for me.
Right.
And if I make it to 85, then statistically I should be good for at least another 5 years.
Right.
And so I'm doing the mental math thinking, right. So at what point am I going to become physically decrepit and I won't right. be able to take care of myself anymore? Yeah. And I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because both my parents were dead at 63 and they never got a chance to get old. My grandfather, my father's father, lived to be 91 or something like that. And he had a walking stick, but he was otherwise all right. He kept his marbles to the end.
Both my parents were very physically active and in great shape up to the time they died. So my mom made it to 90. She was insane. You know, you couldn't talk to her, but she, physically she was fine. You know, she was not slowed down at all.
Mm.
My grandmother was the same way. Her mom was the same way. She was kept going till the day she died. She was just a mile a minute. She had to be doing something all the time. So from that standpoint, I don't think I will end up in a, you know, decrepancy, because it's largely genetic, right? It's like, you know, I feel
yeah,
like
that's yeah. that was my worry.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Because I don't know.
Right.
All I know is that my father's oldest sibling, his sister, got Alzheimer's and died of it, from it or whatever.
Can I interest you in the world of running, Arthur?
Ain't no way. I used to say to somebody years ago who's trying to get me to do that sort of thing, I said, I've spent a lifetime building up this sedentary lifestyle. I'm not going to give it up overnight.
You know what? I was you. I was there. I was, that was me. But, you know, I would go out walking every day to try to stop taking the blood pressure meds. I'd go out walking every day to try to get my steps and everything. And I was like, every time I came back from the walk, I was like, I felt better. I felt great. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I cleared my head. I like, yeah, that was great. There was that midday walk was perfect. That was great. Then I was just like, one day I think I like ran to get away from a sprinkler or something. And it was just kind of like, oh, that felt nice. The breeze in my hair and everything, that kind of felt nice. I can understand the allure of running. I'm like, I wonder what it would take to run, you know what I'm saying? And then I saw that book, that Jeff Galloway book, from Couch to 5K. And that was the aha moment. That was the, I don't have to run for 5K. I don't have to just go out and run for 3.1 miles, just, you know, start running and then 3.1 miles later end. I can run for a little bit and then walk to recover for a little bit and then walk and run for a little bit and then walk to recover. And then over time I can stretch those intervals out and, you know, aim towards running the full distance, but I can enjoy the feeling now, you know, by doing these interval things. It was an aha moment for me. I'm having a lot of fun doing these races.
That's the most important thing anyway. But I have a cross trainer in the garage.
Yeah.
With stuff on top of it, of course. Because my garage is overflowing and has been for 4 years. And it's on my agenda to eventually be able to use.
Yeah.
But I did, 2 or so years ago, I wanted to start walking. And for some reason, I thought the middle of a hot summer afternoon was a perfect time to do that. And at the time, I wasn't sure about my medications because sometimes I felt really exhausted and so on. And I thought, this is really way too risky. So what I did instead is I just walked around my house back and forth because it's carpeted. So everything was nice and soft underfoot. Yeah. It was all on one level. So, you know, no hills or anything. And it's air conditioned.
Right.
Well, two rooms are. So I stayed cool. And then I also realized that the same principle worked in the winter when it's cold and rainy outside.
All right. Exactly.
So I have done that. And one particular day, I remember I was feeling really deeply depressed. And I don't think there was a reason in particular. I just did. And so I thought, I'm going to walk around the house. Mm-hmm. Partly because I remembered back when I was in my 20s. Sometimes I would walk around the house when I was trying to think through something. Huh. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do that. Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
I felt much better after I was done that. It's only a half an hour, but.
Yeah. I go out for my runs, my normal weekly runs, you know, 3 days a week. I normally run 30 minutes on the weekdays, and then every other weekend is a long run.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, and in the week, it's not a long run, it's just another 30-minute run. And those 30-minute runs end up being about, you don't know, a little less than 3 miles, like 2.8 miles or something like that. So, yeah, go out and do it. So, I don't know. It feels, you know, it feels good. Feels, you know, you're woken up, you're awake, you're feeling good. You know, any kind of like brain fog kind of thing you had before is kind of gone. And,
yeah. I often thought that I would be more inclined to do it if there was somewhere around that had a track. Because, like, when I was in high school, they had a track, of course, which
I remember that.
Was publicly accessible
yep.
when there wasn't anything going on.
The high school track was near my house growing up. Like, that was where we went as kids, like, just down the block to the track. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've only seen that here once.
You know, a lot of bigger gyms have inside tracks, air conditioned. Yeah. Like you can do like the one where Rodan and Darwin go to their health club. They have a running track, a quarter mile running track, but it's on the second floor inside the gym. Like it's air conditioned. I think I've seen
videos of things like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know if they have that here, but how would I know? I've never been in a gym in New Zealand, so wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, I'm scared to join a gym just because I hear horror stories all the time about quitting them and like.
Yeah. I mean, I have lots of friends more in America, to be fair, than here who join gyms, and some of them seem to love it. But I've been a lifelong hater.
Yeah,
of gyms.
I know. But you know what?
So
it getting old is all about accepting new things, new paradigms, new, it's like,
what's the point of being old if you have to do that?
It's like, yeah, yeah, I can still drink like I used to, but I'm going to be down for 2 days afterwards. It's like, I'm not going to recover like I used to, you know, it's like, okay, so that means I have to, basically I have a limit, right? It's like, I can have like two drinks, you know what I'm saying? Like two drinks, any more than two drinks, and I'm going to be, you know, a little rough in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Two drinks and then take some ibuprofen and some electrolytes before bed.
Yeah.
There you go. All good. I'm just saying, your hatred of something when you were younger, and now that you're older and wiser, you can be like, you know.
I think part of it is because I was emotionally scarred by gym teachers.
Well, yeah. I think we all
and
were.
And I do. We all were. The one thing I remember about that is there's this one particular guy who I think was molesting the little girls.
Oh, fun.
Because of the way he acted toward them. I didn't think that at the time, but nowadays, looking back, I think he was really fucked up. He was terrible to the boys. He treated us like shit, worse than that. But he was so sweet and loving to the girls.
Yeah.
And my mother complained to the school nurse about this guy.
Oh, I said, bet you that went great.
It did, actually.
Oh.
Because the nurse said, you know, I've noticed there are a large number of boys who have stomach aches on the day gym class is held. And they fired him.
Oh. Well, there you go. It really did work out for the best.
Yeah. They brought in somebody new after that. I don't remember liking or disliking because I think, actually, I have no idea what they brought in.
Are you watching any, we don't have a lot of TV in common, I don't think. Like, do you get Star Trek at the same time that we do, like on Paramount Plus? Like,
we don't have Paramount Plus. Australia does, but we don't.
Okay.
However, most of their programming ends up on TVNZ Plus.
Okay.
So right now they've got, Discovery, Strange New Worlds, and Picard.
Okay.
And
have you watched them?
I have watched the first season of Strange New Worlds. I've not watched any of Discovery.
Okay.
And I've watched the first episode of season one of Picard. I have trouble committing to any series. I never finished The Mandalorian.
Oh.
And I never finished the Marvel based one, the lady and she's married to a robot or whatever.
WandaVision.
What's that one?
Yeah, WandaVision.
That's it.
Yeah.
Never finished that.
Yeah.
Partly because it was getting really weird at one point, and that people said, you've got to stick through it. It gets better. Because I really loved it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it was getting weirder and weirder.
It was getting weirder because it was coming apart. Like, it was her spell. This really wasn't reality. She was forcing this reality upon other people. So it had to get weird. It's kind of like the movie Inception.
And I didn't get that at first because I also didn't know the background of the story either. So.
Right. Exactly. Well, there's a spinoff of that show, WandaVision, that's on right now called Agatha All Along. and that's it. It if you haven't watched WandaVision, you don't know who Agatha is. But anyway, yeah, it's a spinoff of that, and this very big dramatic moment just happened this past week. So
well, the thing is, I pay for Disney Plus, and so I really ought to watch.
Yeah, you should.
That are on there.
You should.
Disney Plus here in New Zealand
also
has all or most of the programming from Hulu. We have one of their, I don't know what you call it, sub-channels or whatever.
Right.
Is called Stars or something like that.
Yeah, Stars, yeah.
And so a lot of that stuff ends up there.
Nice.
And so I can see stuff that I wouldn't be able to otherwise because we don't have
Hulu. So Agatha either. All Along is Disney Plus. So
that is
their unique thing. But the thing that, I don't know if you, how big of a Marvel fanboy you are, the comics, but the teen, Avenger Wiccan is a very prominent, like openly gay character in the Marvel comics. He has, he teams up with and falls in love with Hulkling, and they later get married, and they've had this relationship through this all. Anyway, but that character was just unveiled this past week in Agatha All Along. That was like the big dramatic moment. And it's the kid from Heartstopper.
Which one?
Joe. It's the Joe Locke kid.
Really?
From Heartstopper. Yeah, he's playing Wiccan now in Agatha All Along.
That's another series I have not seen, but that's because I don't have Netflix.
Heartstopper. Oh, Heartstopper is so good. So good. I mean, you can get Netflix though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, originally, my brother-in-law was going to just allow me to log in through his account, but we were one of the first countries where they banned that.
Right.
Of course we were.
So. Yeah, of course. But, I mean, what we do here is we'll save up. We have a list for each service. And then when the list gets big enough, we'll pick up that service for a month and we'll binge.
Well, that was
stuff.
Suggested to me that I could just binge watch Heartstopper.
Yeah, Heartstopper, sure. And then you can make a list of other things on Netflix that are worth watching, like The Umbrella Academy or what else is on Netflix that is really good? I don't have Netflix right now, so I'm just trying to remember from Wednesday, I think, is a Netflix show.
Based on the Addams Family
character? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
There was some other... Oh, Sex Education, I think, is on Netflix. That's the one with Shuti Gatwa and Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Let's see. But really, really well done. So just, get like if you're doing Apple TV Plus, then you got to watch Severance and Silo.
Well, I had that for a while because I got it. I got it 6 months for free when I bought my phone.
From what was it? For All Mankind, the alternate space history one. Oh, my God. That's so good. It's such a good show. Yeah.
There's a show. It's actually on TVNZ Plus. It's an Australian show. Oh, fuck. I can't remember what it's called. But it's about... the space age era. It's not about space. It's about life in Australia in that time. But there's a lot of complex things about race relations and so on because Australia is racist as fuck. Although these days we're not so far behind.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, I'm from America. We got you all beat.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
The thing that amuses me is that whenever there's a Facebook post, but either by, a government entity or maybe it's an ad, and they use the word Aotearoa, and people will say, "Where's that? I've never heard that before." And I'm thinking, "Oh, fuck off. You're just being a racist prick, and everybody knows it." God.
It's like those TikToks where people purposely mispronounce Kamala's name. And it's like... I honestly feel like during the Democratic convention that the reason that they don't use any of Bill Clinton's clips is because he mispronounced her name. Like he called, he called her.
I think I noticed it now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, he called her Kamala or something. It was far enough off that it was like, ooh,
it's really odd.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you don't know her name. But hey, it's Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah.
All right. I actually do need to go. I've enjoyed talking with you a lot.
It's been wonderful.
We should get together again sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
But I have to go to Animal Kingdom in the morning. Over at Disney.
Right.
And Zach goes to work at like 2 o'clock. So we have to be at Animal Kingdom to have lunch.
Right.
And then he's gonna leave from there to go to work. So, you know, it has to be relatively early.
Right.
To go to Animal Kingdom. You know, it's such a harsh life living right next to a theme park. Oh, woe is me.
I've never been to Disney World. I've only been to Disneyland. And I heard you and Adam going on about that.
Yes. Woe is me. I must go to a theme park tomorrow to see animals and maybe ride a roller coaster or two and have some delicious food.
Exactly.
Oh, shoot.
Gosh, such a burden
darn,
it is.
Such a burden it is. I think the chat room has already fallen asleep, but...
Probably.
Yeah. Good night, stream. And we'll disconnect from there. Good night, chat room. I will disconnect from there. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.